The commissioner is in, and his take on fantasy sports is all-knowing and powerful. Jim Francisco is Radio 111's Fantasy Warlock. Who's your breakout? Concerned about boom or bust? How are you managing a flex? What to do with injuries? And much more. You've made it to the big leagues with a big guy. Now, here's your Fantasy Warlock.
You're damn right I'm your Fantasy Warlock. I am here for you at Radio 111 from the beautiful Coachella Valley. Coachella Valley in Palm Springs. Coming at you from Palm Springs, Cathedral City. It doesn't matter. I'm coming at you on the air. We are here to help you win money. We are here to help you win your league. Find those bragging rights. Bring home the trophy. I am your all-knowing, omnipotent source of everything fantasy sports. I'm not kidding. I don't just win. I dominate. So what do you want to do? You want to win. It happens every year. Everybody forgets. And now, as football season's going, basketball's getting ready to go. Hockey's getting ready to go. People are getting ready for drafts. So it's real easy to get complacent and not pay attention. That's why you have your warlock. Keep you locked in. Keep you paying attention. So let's talk about baseball for a second. You've got less than 2 weeks to go. Major League Baseball, you've got a bunch of teams still vying for playoff spots. They're making a lot of roster moves. If you're paying attention and you're in a league that carries over year to year, this is the month and the last couple of weeks where you should be checking the waiver wire, looking every morning to see who is called up from the minor leagues. They bring up studs all the time at the end of the year. This is your chance to grab those people, put them on your bench, put them in your lineup, and wait for next year. Otherwise, you're having to draft them at a premium next year. So you can sneak in and grab players like Shane Baz, the unbelievable young pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays. In case you didn't notice, they brought him up last week. He had a great start. He's starting again this week. He'll have two starts next week. Why did they bring him up? Because they're already in the playoffs, so they're bringing up all their studs now to be ready for their playoff run. But you, as a fantasy owner, have a chance to grab that player and hold on to him for next year. So pay attention. Don't sleep on your leagues, because other people aren't. The guy's probably winning your league has already done it. Right? Pay attention, people. Be engaged. Basketball starting. So, people ask me all the time, I don't know, I'm getting ready for my basketball draft. It's real simple with fantasy basketball. Just pick the best player available. Don't get crazy. Don't go with your heart. Go with the team, the player. Look at all the factors, but get players, best player available, the player that hits the most statistical categories. So in the first four or five rounds, guys that get assists, make baskets, get rebounds. You want those players early. As it goes on in a draft, then you can get specialized players, guys that just get steals, guys that can score, three-point specialists, rebound specialists. Get the specialists late. But the first five, six picks, you need guys that hit multiple statistical categories. Because if you bypass those guys, you're going to hate it. A guy later that might get more rebounds a game, that's great. But if you take him too early, you're missing out on a guy that's going to get you points, rebounds, assists, steals, and everything all at once. You maximize your picks. Same goes with hockey. A lot of you are getting ready for hockey drafts. I'm on a trip with my daughter for 2 weeks back east last week, and all I'm getting is texts and emails and phone calls the whole time I'm on the trip. Who do I bench? Who do I sit? I'm getting ready for my basketball draft. I'm getting ready for my baseball draft. I'm finishing up baseball. I'm getting ready for hockey. I don't know what to do. Slow down. One at a time. Just don't get too creative. You know, your baseball drafts, your football drafts, that's where the things are won and lost. And then how you manage it during the course of the season is the easy part, if you're paying attention. So pay attention, you're going to be just fine. That being said, everybody wants to talk about football. We're 2 weeks in. I'm getting all the questions. Should I drop this guy? Should I pick up that guy? This guy hasn't done anything yet. It's been 2 weeks. We're still in a COVID society. A lot of these guys have been in training camp, but not been in training camp. They've been out on the COVID list. They've been quarantined from their teammates. They're just getting in the rhythm. This week alone, Antonio Brown from the Bucks. Starter had a great week one, not a great week two. He's on the COVID list now. Do I drop him? No, he's a stud. Don't drop your studs. Pay attention. It's the COVID list. He's going to be out all week. He could show up and play on Sunday. Their protocols are goofy. So every week before Sunday's games, check your lineup. See if somebody's active.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Are the protocols different by team?
Each team has their own protocols, but the NFL mandated specific protocols.
A standardized
thing.
Yeah.
But even a standardized thing, it can't make heads or tails of. So a guy went into a protocol last week on Sunday, and then he was back practicing on Friday and played last Sunday. I'm like, okay, so, but that's the thing. I mean, we're all dealing with the COVID thing. It could be maybe he tested positive or somebody around him tested positive, so he had to go test, and if he came back negative a couple of times, then he was good to go. So we don't even understand. We still don't, after 2 years of this, almost 2 years of COVID, we still don't understand the incubation period. When is it really safe to go back into public? When is it safe to be around friends? If you're vaccinated, it's okay, but is it really? Can you still pass it to somebody else? Even if you're vaccinated and got it, can you pass it to someone else? So the NFL is trying to bubble their teams up, and it's hard. They have families. They have lives.
Is the league offering or allowing for any sort of allowance as in general society where there are people who get like exceptions because of religious beliefs and things like that, or
they haven't
played by our rules or
well,
get
they
out?
Haven't mandated everybody has to be vaccinated, and a couple of people have been released magically even though it's not mandated that never got vaccinated, like Cam Newton from the Patriots, who's a legitimate NFL starting quarterback,
right,
a former MVP. Patriots released him. And he's not vaccinated. He was out last year with COVID, right? So it's like, other players were released from other teams. And it's like, was it because I wasn't vaccinated? Well, you're not that great, but they probably still could have used you. The vaccination thing probably didn't help. So you probably hurt yourself in your pocketbook.
Where does the NFLPA fall on
all of
this?
Well, that's the thing. The PA is like going, they've already filed grievances against all those teams for releasing these players. But they can't prove that that's why they released them unless some idiot from one of the teams sent it out in an email.
Yeah.
Right? So the only way you're going to check anybody is if they sent it out in an email, we're releasing him because of COVID. But NFL coaches have hinted around about it. Was that a factor, coach, in press conferences? Well, everything's a factor. What a bland answer, but it's kind of saying like, wink.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
I don't know. I think that the PA needs to back off on this one because
this
is about general public health and the welfare of their players.
And while they filed grievances, they haven't like gone big time at it. They're not releasing a lot. You don't see it on ESPN. You don't see
what happens when they change stream and they back a player who decides to sue another team or another player because they played and got them sick.
Well, that's it. So they have to think about all of that. And I think that's why they did their thing. They have to file a grievance. But they're not stepping on the gas pedal with it. They're just kind of, because you really, public perception is so goofy anyway. Everybody wants football, but they're still human beings. They still have families at home.
Yeah, especially among football fans, I would gather, because there are going to be people who are on both sides of this issue in the stands and watching at home on TV.
I mean, I'm watching the games on our trip a couple of Sundays ago, first week. Week one, we get into D.C., we get into our hotel room right before 1 o'clock before the game start, and I forget, oh my gosh, I'm back east. Games start at 1, they don't start at 10. This is exciting, I can watch all the games. While I'm getting all the texts and emails, who do I start, who do I play? Like, it's week one, man, play your best players. You drafted a certain way, what are you doing? Oh, okay. And then I'm watching the games, and I'm just like, wow, the stands are packed. And you'll get a kick out of this. I'm in D.C., watching from Georgetown University at our hotel room, and they show a clip from the Redskins game, and this liquid is flying down from above this section. Like, it's just, they had a flood and a pipe burst, right? And these people are getting drenched. And they're standing there cheering on their team, not realizing they're standing in sewage. They finally realized it, and they got the people out of the section, but they were getting sewage dumped on them in a whole section.
Oh, my God.
At the Redskins Park, or whatever the hell they call it now. And I was dying. I'm like, look at this. Just another season for the Washington football team. Can't call themselves Redskins anymore, right?
Right.
Still haven't got creative enough to get a name, so this is the second year they're the Washington football team. And there's sewage being dumped on them. My daughter and I are just laughing. Then our room service shows up, and we're getting our room service together, and our door's open. and a pit bull walks into our room. Just what? Walks into our room, starts sniffing us. And I'm looking at my daughter. I'm like, don't move. I'm looking at the room service lady. Don't move. There's a pit bull circling our table. And then we hear down the hall, hey, whatever his name was. And then the dog turns and runs out of the room. And I'm like, that just happened. We're at a Ritz-Carlton in Georgetown, D.C., right?
Right.
And a pit bull just walked into our room. I'm like, this has got to be some kind of weird sign, Bell. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But insane, man. Insane. That's crazy. The COVID thing is nuts. And I'm looking at all these games. And there's just packs of people in the stands. They look like they were at full capacity. And I'm like, man, how real is this? Well, it's pretty real, people. How many people at that game are going to go home and then get somebody else sick or get sick themselves? How many are truly vaccinated? We don't know. It was bad enough going on a two-week trip taking airplanes.
Yeah.
Double masking. With a kid with autoimmune diseases freaked out. I'm like, you're in the front row of each plane. We're in, we're out. Don't worry, you know? Still. Insane, Mr. John, insane.
Where's she looking at school?
Georgetown.
Is that it?
Princeton. Wake Forest. Those are the three schools after visiting like 15 that she liked. She liked Villanova, but then about a mile outside of Villanova, she's like, maybe not. And then as we got closer into Philly, definitely not. And then we got into Philly, and we get to UPenn, and she's like, oh, hell no. I'm like, UPenn's been on your list forever. No, no. This city sucks, and it's busy, and it's ugly, and it's gross. So we go check into our hotel, and we get up to the 23rd floor. We're there for 45 minutes. She's like, we got to go. I can't be in this city.
Yeah.
Like, well, we're seeing Princeton tomorrow. Why don't we just go down to Galloway, my hometown, and, you know, near Absecon and in Atlantic City, and just stay down there for a couple days, which was kind of my back plan anyway. And she's like, okay, because I had a feeling she wasn't going to like the city. She's grown up here.
Well, Pennsylvania is an Ivy League school, but it is also, right, everybody I know who's come out of there has their nose in the air for life.
And I told her that, and she's read into that too. She's like, God, these people are brutal at Penn. And then we walked around a little bit. She's like, yeah, I'm not feeling this. Let's go.
Yeah.
So we ended up down, and then we went to Princeton the next day, and she fell in love with Princeton. And I knew she was going to love Princeton. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And she has the grades, the SAT scores and everything, so we'll see. So
isn't Princeton where somebody got in trouble for calling another team the nappy-headed hose?
Was it Princeton? Oh, yes. Yeah. When they played Rutgers. The nappy-headed hose from Rutgers University, yes. That's correct.
Rutgers. You're right. I was thinking it was Princeton.
No, it was the Rutgers team.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Princeton team's probably really not nappy-headed hose, but no. Bookworms with glasses that can't really shoot. Hello? we're here.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, the trip was great that way, and I was busy with fantasy calls the whole time. So, week one for us, week three for the NFL. When we get back, we'll break into key injuries for this weekend's games. Things you have to pay attention to since this is Thursday. Keep your eyes open all the way through Sunday morning because some of these players are really key. You're going to need to pay attention if they're playing or not.
Somebody was calling to tell me you can't talk about the nappy thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't talk about that. No-no.
That's a no-no?
Yep. So my apologies.
John. It wasn't a warlock.
I did not endorse the name or the name calling. I was just repeating the event.
That's correct.
Okay.
This is Jimmy, your fantasy warlock. We'll be right back with key injuries.
The 411 on fantasy sports action this week with a fantasy warlock. Here's Radio 111's Jim Francisco.
Radio 111, Jim Francisco, your fantasy warlock here. So we have a game tonight, and we'll get into that later, but there are a lot of key injuries across the NFL that everybody needs to pay attention to. If you're one of those people that drafted rookie Justin Fields from the Chicago Bears, congratulations, he's starting this week. Andy Dalton is out. Justin Fields is in. Now, we'll see if when Andy is back, if Justin stays on the field. But I have a feeling that they were planning on moving Fields into the lineup sooner rather than later anyway. Why did they move up in the draft to draft a kid in the first round if they weren't planning on that? But he is forced into action with injury, and everybody's excited. I'm getting a lot of questions. Is this the time to start him? I'm like, look, if you don't have any other quarterback, absolutely start him. But slow your roll a little bit and understand he is playing the Cleveland Browns. And that used to be really funny, like, oh yeah, play everybody against Cleveland. But in case you haven't noticed, their defense is actually pretty good. They have some good pass rushers. Their secondary is okay. And you are talking about a rookie. And from what I saw last week in the game, he's one of those guys that's going to run and run a lot. He's one of those kids that the game is moving a lot faster than it was, even for an Ohio State kid. It's moving a lot faster than a college game. So they drop back. They don't see their first person open. They don't scan the field. They just tuck the ball and run. So he could be in for a good rushing day, but I don't expect too much against this defense. So if you're going to have to play Justin Fields, play him. But if you have another viable option with a better matchup, let the rookie sit, play somebody else. The rookie will get his over time. He is a high draft pick. Everybody seems really high on him. They think he's going to be a phenomenal NFL player. But just slow your roll week one if you have a better option. San Francisco. A long time ago, somebody said Mike Shanahan and now his son, who's the head coach of the Niners, they love to play games with their running backs. When Shanahan was with Denver and he had Terrell Davis, it was the Terrell Davis show. And then he had Clinton Portis, it was the Clinton Portis show. Everything was great. And then as soon as Portis got hurt, he decided that everything in his running back pool was going to be by committee. So he has three or four running backs on the team, and you never knew which running back was going to get the bulk of the carries, get the receptions. One week, one guy gets 20 carries and five catches. The next week, he gets two carries and one catch. And another guy, like the third stringer, gets all the carries. They play the hot hand. San Francisco has multiple injuries at running back. Raheem Mostert's on IR. Elijah Mitchell, who replaced Mostert in week one, got hurt last week, played, got hurt again. Trey Sermon came in, who was inactive the first week, who was a high draft pick for them. He's dinged. So they've brought in guys off the waiver wire. Trenton Cannon, Kerryon Johnson, Jacques, I don't even know who the hell this guy Jacques Patrick is, and then Chris Thompson. So any of these guys can get the ball. And so my advice, just stay away from the San Francisco backfield. They're all injured. You never know who's going to get it. And somebody called them Shanahanigans, you know, like shenanigans. Mike, I remember who said that. It might have been on another radio show or something, so I can't give them full credit, but I didn't come up with that. But it is true Shanahanigans in that backfield.
It must have been Bossy and Sugar Britches on shenanigans.
Might have been. Tua Tagliavolia. Tua. We'll just call him Tua, the Miami Dolphins starting quarterback. Broken ribs. Out this week. Jacoby Brissett is your starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. So I would kind of mark down everybody on that team, because Jacoby's a good backup, but he's not a great quarterback. So if you have Devontae Parker, Mike Gesicki, Miles Gaskins, even though they're playing the Raiders, the 2-0 Raiders, who have beat two really good teams at Baltimore and Pittsburgh, you might want to not throw Brissett in there just because you had him backing up Tua. Tua's out. He could be out for multiple weeks. Definitely a blow to the Miami players. A lot of players came up on the injury report this week. Dalvin Cook, the stud running back from Minnesota. Dalvin Cook's a stud. He played through the injury last week, had 148 scrimmage yards, looked great, but he was off the field twice. One, the first injury in the second quarter, he was down for several minutes with a stinger, shook it off, got back in the game, and then sprained an ankle. Got back in the game after being taped up, played hard for the last quarter plus. But he's dinged. You know, you have to keep an eye on it this week. If he didn't practice yesterday, he hasn't practiced yet today. If he doesn't practice tomorrow, there's a very good chance he's not going to play on Sunday. So you really have to pay attention. If he doesn't play, Alexander Mattison is more than a capable backup. Feel free to put him in your lineup. He is going to get all the carries and catches. DeAndre Hopkins, stud wide receiver for Arizona. Another rib injury. Surprise addition. Nobody knew he was sore. He had a great first half last week and then didn't do much in the second half of the game. Well, apparently he had a rib injury. Now the NFL's reported it. So keep your eye on DeAndre Hopkins if you're counting on him. He's a top three receiver in the league. Pay attention. T. Higgins, the number one receiver by default in Cincinnati, a shoulder injury. Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback for Pittsburgh, showed up with a pec injury. They're downplaying the injury. Ben's a warrior. But Ben's also like 38 years old. How long can a warrior sustain? Keep your eye on these names. Damian Harris, the starting running back for the Patriots. Dinged. They're looking for any excuse to get their rookies playing. Keep an eye on it. Odell Beckham Jr. is back from his injury from last year. This is his first week back at full practice. Jarvis Landry, Their receiver, who is their number one, is out for multiple weeks. Beckham's back, but be careful. He might not play a full complement of snaps. He's got the big name. Doesn't mean he's going to play. The last one to watch for that, LaViska Shenhua, Jacksonville stud wide receiver, also a shoulder injury. People, wide receivers with shoulder injuries, you have to be very wary of playing them unless you absolutely have to. They have to reach to catch the ball. That's hard to do with a hurt shoulder. They have to lower the shoulder and take hits. Very hard to do. Keep your eye on these guys, and we have a whole list of other guys that are trending down for this week we'll get to after the break. This is your Fantasy Warlock, Jimmy Francisco.
It's Fantasy Football Talk with someone who really knows their shit. Jim Francisco is the Fantasy Warlock from Radio 111. Here's Big Jim.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Warlock. I am said Warlock here at Radio 111. James Francisco, Jimmy if you will. 760-677-0111, which would be 0111, if we're pumping Radio 111. And that'll be the number you can call in starting next week to ask me live. The silly questions, the intelligent questions, we take them all because they're all important. A lot of newbies play fantasy football every year. Every year, families get together. Hey, we're doing a fantasy football league. Grandpa, you're in. We're going to have everybody in the family in it, including the seven-year-old.
Do you think that there was a greater interest in it during last seasons because people couldn't be in the stands at all for most of the teams?
Yeah, and what went up last year was the daily fantasy stuff where it's basically gambling. I mean, yeah. you get an account through a FanDuel or DraftKings or whatever, and you're playing daily fantasy football, which is basically Sunday. And, you know, they split up their Thursday night slate with Thursday night and then Monday night combined, and then all the Sunday games, and you can play the afternoon games or the morning games or all of them at once. But you're going against thousands of people. Thousands. And then you look and you're like, I'm winning, I'm doing great. And then you look at the end, you're like, how did I finish 47th?
Yeah.
You know, you still might cash out at 47, but you know, you put in a $10 game, you might win $5, and that's how they keep you hooked. You stay in.
We should set up a gathering at one of the sports oriented
absolutely.
One of the sports oriented casinos in the valley and have a watch party, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that'd be fun.
Always
fun.
We
could record some stuff at it and use it the next week in the show.
And at that point, we can always do a league based with listeners for the show.
Yeah.
Which would be a lot of fun. A lot of people do that.
Okay.
But it always cracks me up. So last year, back to your question, the daily fantasy numbers went up. And a lot of, like, the CBS Sportsline and Yahoo's and the people that do the weekly, the weekly fantasy, the season-long fantasy games, where, you know, you're playing against your buddies or coworkers or family, and, you know, a lot of these leagues go long-term.
Yeah.
That increased a little bit because they were bored. You had to do something. So, hey, well, they're still playing, so let's do a fantasy league amongst ourselves. So families would sit around and bust each other's chops all day. One of my friends,
great,
his seven-year-old sent me a picture of his fantasy lineup. Hey, Uncle Jimmy, how'd I do in my draft? I'm like, dude, you did better than people that have been doing this for 20 years. Well, how did you do this? I don't know. I just looked and I picked the best player available. I didn't get cute. Thank you, son. 7 years old. And he just went down the list and he goes, well, this quarterback's rated high, but this running back's rated higher for the position value. I'm going to take this running back. And the kid was 7 years old and did it. What do I do with my lineup? I'm like, don't change anything unless there's an injury. Your backups are great, too. You just bring them in for bye weeks. Haven't heard from him since week one, and the kid's 2-0.
Wow. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, and his dad's like, I don't know how he did it. I'm like, I don't know, because you have no brain when it comes to football, so this is amazing, you know? But that was it, though. It's like those fun leagues with your family and friends. They can be a lot of
fun.
Maybe
that's the thing where adults tend to overthink things. Kids just do.
Just do. Because, you know, he had listened before, you know, when he's heard me talking with his dad and stuff, and I'm like, just take the best player available. Because you can always trade them if you have them. If you have too many good running backs, that's a good thing. You trade one and get a good receiver. You can do different things with it.
See, that's what we hope for here, is that the Warlock is just going to sink in, and it's going to lead you to lead your leagues.
Exactly. It's really not that hard to beat your friends and family, especially if you have pride. And you want to, look, you don't want to lose to your aunt or your grandma. And you and I get a lot of guys that are like, man, my wife's kicking my ass this season. I'm like, well, you deserve it. She's not overthinking it.
I know a guy who was on the radio up in Seattle who years ago would play against the nuns, three nuns every week.
They probably kicked his ass,
They
too.
Did.
Yeah.
And they had a little divine intervention.
Now, I mean, my one friend's wife would always pick the player with the best rump in his football pants.
Lovely. You
know? So Larry Fitzgerald, who might have the best ass in football, who's now retired, sort of, was always her number one pick. And Larry had a hell of a career, and she always did well with Larry Fitzgerald. But it's funny, though. I mean,
should call it the Peach League.
The Peach League. There you go. Look at those peaches. It's fantastic. But that's the fun part of the game, playing with your friends and family and having the bragging rights. We do it at our office. I'm only in one league right now because just I'd rather be spending the time giving advice. But we've been modifying the league the last couple of years, trying to make it the most competitive fantasy football league, trying to make a new model for the season-long family style league, and I'm probably about a year away from really dialing it in, because every couple of weeks I'm like, you know, that would be a better stat addition, and I'm able to go in and change that around and see what it does to the league, so that at the end we can have a dynasty league, they call them, where you have your franchise and you add to it and subtract from it every year like an NFL team, so to try to make it more of a realistic thing, because the daily fantasy stuff has taken everything over. Everybody is a gambler now. They go. And the way daily fantasy works, because John's not familiar with it, is you have to set a lineup based on the salaries that they give you for each player. So each player is tiered with salaries. So you can go with a couple of high-dollar guys, but then you're going to have to fill your lineup out with really low-dollar guys. So you have to really get creative on, well, this guy's going to really go off. I'm going to play him, but man, everybody's going to play him. So would it be better to play a guy that's maybe $1,000 or $2 below him and then use that money elsewhere for somebody else? So that's the trick with the daily thing. It's a lot of work to try to figure out your lineup. You have to fit it in under a budget. If they say it's $30,000 is what you get to spend, you have to not exceed $30,000 with your lineup to get it in the game. And you lose, and you're like, how did that guy play? Who the hell is that guy? I don't even know who that tight end is. But that tight end scored a touchdown, one catch for a touchdown that beat 75 people in a league. Because the guy had no other choice but to play the lowest bottom-feeding tight end because he filled his lineup up with other players. And then every now and then, those players hit, and their value is so much more because they hit and they were so cheap that these people that are spending all this money are like, how did they beat me with that? So then they look and they're like, there's a lot of people playing this guy or that guy. And I'm like, they have algorithms. There are guys that sit on their computers all day and play thousands of teams every week. $5 here, $10 there, $5 here. They'll go into a $100 game there. And they're playing. That's all they do is fantasy daily football. It's like the guys with the sports books playing the over-under, playing the prop bets, playing the win, playing the parlays.
So this is how they're making their living.
They're making their living. So guys are literally, and gals, making their living playing daily fantasy sports.
Wow.
Baseball, you can do it daily. And that's daily because baseball goes every
sure.
night. Basketball is daily. Hockey is daily. Football is different because it's basically Sunday. And I've watched people who are degenerate gamblers get sucked right into it. But I don't have to play a $100 hand like blackjack. It's kind of the same thing. But you're just spreading your money out. And you have a better chance of maybe breaking even. So they think they're geniuses because they're 1% better than they were the week before or whatever. I'm like, it's great. You're not losing money. But you're having to play 200 games to break even, so you can hedge your bets. I'm going to play this lineup in this game, but I'm going to play this lineup in that game, and then I'm going to play this lineup here. And then there's 50-50s. They call them 50-50 games where all you have to do is finish in the top 50% and you get paid. And everybody, you know, it's not like if you win it, you just have to finish top 50. If you're in the bottom 50% of that game, you're out. But you're going against hundreds and thousands of players. Some of these games, the $1 million maker, very hard to win them when there's a 800,000 people in the same game. So it's that one person that has the balls to play the goofy lineup that wins those. And people are like, how did he win? Well, creativity, algorithms, figuring out what other players would be playing, and then playing the opposite. Like, oh, everybody's going to play Pat Mahomes from the Chiefs. They got a great matchup. okay, well, I'm not going to play Mahomes. I'm going to try to get value elsewhere, but I know this other guy could do just as well as Mahomes, maybe in that game, so I'm going to take the chance and play this guy. And I'm going to take a chance to play Matt Stafford from the Rams against the Bucks because it should be a shootout. They could be coming from behind the whole game. He's going to get close to the same points as Mahomes, and now I can spend that extra $3,000 on a running back or a tight end or a better defense. Right? So it becomes such a game of
strategy
and statistics and trends, and people are like, I don't understand, you know, I never win. I'm like, it's not designed for you to win when it's open to this many people. When you go to Vegas and put your money in a slot machine, is that designed for you to win? No.
Right.
So as skilled as this game can be, it's still luck. So the whole argument of, was fantasy sports a skilled game or is it luck? Why should it be illegal? Well, it's still kind of gambling, guys. If there's any money on the line, even in a family-friendly league, it's still gambling. I don't care what you say. It's gambling, right? But it's so easy for people to get sucked into daily fantasy sports. I've never done it, and I refuse to, because I know myself. I would never get any work done. I would never see my family. I couldn't coach soccer. I couldn't do a radio show, because I would be sitting, just like you are right now, in front of three computer monitors, staring at them all day, looking for an edge, and finding some edges, and then playing them. And then, okay, because I've thought about it. If I did this, I could probably make some pretty good money, but it would engulf my whole being. To be successful at those games, you have to be completely engrossed in it.
So if you live alone and you don't have a family and you don't have responsibilities, maybe you're a trust fund baby to begin with, who cares?
Who cares? Have at it.
Yeah.
Become a fantasy football god, a fantasy daily god, you know?
Yeah.
I know guys that are doing baseball, basketball, hockey, football, and that's all they do. And they're making pretty good money, right? But they have no time to do anything else.
Do they have any life to use the money?
No, and they don't. And that's the funniest thing is half of them either live in their parents' basement still at 25 or 30. And then the ones that are like the gamblers that used to play the online poker and stuff, they do it. And they've like, well, I can make more money doing this if I just expand my base. So I just made $100,000 in poker. I'm going to put 50 of it towards fantasy football and I'm going to blow it up. And these guys are having success. People are making a lot of money doing this. But it is engrossing. It is so ridiculous. And you have to remember, just if you think you're going to be good at it and you dedicate all your time to it and you're looking at four monitors and you've come up with an algorithm that's going to give me the most winners, I can play all 50-50s and just get in the top 50 here and I'm going to make $700. Man, that's a lot of work to get $700, right? Hours. Okay, good. $700 a week is more than most people make. Fucking have at it. But be aware, you're not going to have much of a life if you really want to be successful doing this. So my advice, if you're playing daily, play it like you're playing your football pool with your, like I used to run a football pool out of high school. All the teachers and kids were involved, you know, $5 an entry, pick the games. Whoever wins the most gets 50% of the pot, and I would keep the other 50%. You know, boys got to eat. Yeah, but I never got in trouble because my principal, vice principal, and everybody else was involved in it. Hey, Jimmy, you running a football pool? Absolutely. I'm going to put 5 entries in. Fine. $25. You know? But, yeah, so I never had to worry about stuff in high school. I was running illegal books.
Right.
Right? So, bookmakers, everything, it's not designed for you to win. It's designed for you to get lucky once in a while. But because of the scope of it now, there are guys out there that sit around and do it. That's all they do. So be careful when you're playing daily because it becomes addicting just like any other addiction, right? And if you don't have the money to do it, don't do it. But if you have $100 a week to piss away, have some fun. Maybe you get lucky. But understand, you're not going to beat the sharks, they call them, because they're out there and they're watching everything you do. And they base their stuff off of what you're doing. And they win. Wow, that was a rant on daily fantasy sports I was not expecting today, but it's true. Pay attention, people. This is your warlock.
This is Radio 111.
Radio 111 is your home for talking fantasy sports. Jim Francisco is the Fantasy Warlock. And live from Palm Springs, here's the man, the legend, the Warlock himself, Jimmy.
I'm the guy you don't want in your fantasy league because I'll win. Yeah, I remember that, hearing that on radio one time, and it was Meatloaf. I'll win. And I ended up in a league with him, and I whipped his ass. That was the best. I was in a league one time with a bunch of doctors out of L.A., baseball league, and they don't know me, but my buddy's like, dude, I got us in this league. Phil got us in this league. It's a bunch of these doctors and stuff at this hospital. I don't even remember what hospital it was. I remember driving there on a Sunday for the draft, drafting and leaving, making one trade all season, one free agent pickup, and walking through the league wire to wire, winning the whole thing. And they were not happy. Like, who is this guy? I never got invited back.
No.
There was 12 statistical categories. I won 11 of them and won the whole thing overall.
When you say you won it, I mean, was there money on the line?
There was like $6,000-$7,000 to the winner.
Oh.
And then then you won $500 for every category you won. In each category, that was 12 categories, and I won 11 of them. They didn't like
me. And what was the payday for that?
It was like $14,000, I think, I came away with.
Wow.
I split it with my buddy because he put the money up, the $1,000 to get in or whatever, and got me in. And I'm like, all right, that was fun. And I'm sure, you know, if Amazon was alive back then, it would have been pissed away in 2 days by my kids.
Might be the only person to get a doctor to part with that kind of money.
It wasn't me. It was whoever ran the league. And they'd had it for a long time. And they were like, we need some new blood. And my buddy's like, oh, I got a guy that could do it. And they're like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. One and done. It was pretty funny.
Suddenly, all they see is not a big guy. They see just a shark.
Yeah, I just sat there during the draft. Yeah. And they were talking and drinking. And we're at the hospital in this boardroom. And they're drinking and partying. And I'm like, this is comedy. Hope nobody needs surgery today. Right?
Right.
Speaking of surgery, let's go back to the last few injuries that are guys that are trending down. Running back Josh Jacobs. Maybe there's a reason why the Las Vegas Raiders signed Kenyon Drake on a big money deal as his backup, because Jacobs just seems to be hurt a lot. Well, here he is again. He has a toe injury and an ankle injury, and he's very questionable earlier in the week, and he is trending down. So Kenyon Drake and Peyton Barber will probably split carries there if you have either one. You're forced to play one, I guess, play Drake, but doesn't look like Josh Jacobs is going to play. Darrell Henderson, who inherited the Rams running back job. Ribs. Sony Michel, who they traded for right before the season started. Looks like he's going to get his chance to be the main guy. Pay attention, though, because if Henderson plays, then it's going to be a split. They're going to limit what he does, which means Sony Michel's limit will be in place. But if Henderson's out, Michel's a good play. He's going to play a lot. Carson Wentz, former Eagles quarterback, now the Indianapolis Colts. Both ankles sprained in the last game. Played through them, but he hasn't been through practice yet this week. He's been a non-participant. If he doesn't play, they've got problems. Jacob Eason would be their starter. Pay attention. If Wentz plays, he could be in for a pretty good game. I mean, they are playing the Titans. It's a division rival. Could be a lot of scoring, but he has to play. So pay attention to these names that are all trending down. Check on them on Sunday morning before you put them in your lineup. If you see the little red cross next to their name on your computer screen, there's a reason. Make sure he's playing. They put out inactive lists an hour before every game. So check. Don't be complacent and wait until 5 minutes before the game and go, oh, God, I got to do something. And don't be the guy who didn't check and plays him and then realizes you're getting a fat zero from your quarterback. Pay attention. Deontay Johnson, number one receiver for Pittsburgh. He could be out. He has a knee injury. He didn't practice Wednesday. They're kind of downplaying it, but now they're saying, well, it might be a little more serious. They don't have to give you every bit of information. They just have to tell you there's an injury and he hasn't practiced. They have to release their practice reports. If he doesn't practice again, and the key for this, people, if they don't practice Thursday, it's not that dramatic of a deal, but if you see them practice Friday, they're good to go usually. If they don't practice Friday or are limited Friday, you better be checking Sunday morning. Evan Ingram, who hasn't played yet for the Giants, still dealing with a calf injury. They expected him back last week. He didn't come back last week. They're expecting him back this week. We'll see Sunday. Check and make sure before you put him in your lineup. Russell Gage, wide receiver, Atlanta Falcons. Same thing. Ankles. So NFL players, if you don't have an ankle to push off on, you're not going to be as fast. Check to make sure. They usually decide that an hour and 15 before the game when they're done with warm-ups. Is he going to play? Is he not? Boom, he's on the inactive list. Check the inactive list. All of your websites that you use for your fantasy football has a spot for actives and inactives for each game. Click on it. Make sure your guy's playing. And if he is playing, make sure that you might have somebody better that is fully healthy that could play. Because if they go out there with a shoulder injury or an ankle injury, there's a very good chance they tweak it, start off with a catch or two, and then they don't play the rest of the game. And then you're hosed. Pay attention. Jameson Crowder, same thing. Progressed to limited practice last week. Wasn't able to play. Still unclear if he's going to have another setback or whatever, but these are names you have to pay attention to. Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Hopkins, T. Higgins, Ben Roethlisberger, Damian Harris, Odell Beckham, Shenhua, Josh Jacobs, Daryl Henderson, Carson Wentz, Deontay Johnson, Evan Ingram, Russell Gage, Jameson Crowder. A lot of you people are depending on these players. Make sure they're playing. And if they are playing, make sure they're a full go. This is your Fantasy Warlock on Radio 111. We'll get back after the break, talk about each game individually, break it down for the gambling side and the fantasy side.
The commissioner is in, and his take on fantasy sports is all-knowing and powerful. Jim Francisco is Radio 111's Fantasy Warlock. Who's your breakout? Concerned about boom or bust? How are you managing a flex? What to do with injuries? And much more. You've made it to the big leagues with a big guy. Now, here's your Fantasy Warlock.
Ooh, it's football weekend. Happy Thursday. Happy Sunday for those that are listening to this on Sunday. We're coming into the second hour of the show. Plenty of time to talk about Thursday night's game, which will be irrelevant for most of you on Sunday, except for the fact that you probably should have listened Thursday to play whoever I recommend Thursday night. Now.
And some people are listening actually on Thursday evening, too, because it replays, the program replays. At 6 p.m. on Thursday.
So, which would be right in the middle of the game.
Yep.
So, you can either call me a genius or a fat jerk, whatever you want at that moment. And remember, as good as I am, I'm not going to be 100% right all the time because it's impossible. Injuries happen. Things happen. But know this. A lot of you are a slave to rankings. And when I say that, I mean you go on the websites, and there's a lot of advice websites out there, and you look at quarterback rankings for the week, 1 through 32 of all the starting quarterbacks, and you look at them and go, oh man, my guy's ranked number 4 this week, but man, you know, I've also got the guy that's ranked number 6. Is he in a better matchup? Well, understand that most people that do these rankings, while they figure in the current week's matchup, they're looking at the whole picture most of the time. Just reputation, past performance, and they're projecting performance going forward. And honestly, not many of them have the balls to switch their rankings around week to week very much. You're going to look at rankings every week and you're going to see Patrick Mahomes probably at the top spot every week because Patrick Mahomes goes off more than most people every week, but he's going to have some duds. The key to watching the rankings and looking at the rankings is looking where your guy is and then where your opponent's guy is. And then analyze the matchups for yourself because you are playing another team. You're playing somebody else. So while the overall rankings are important, it's really where your guy ranks against the guy you're playing against guy. Guy, guy, guy. Lots of guys. So if you have Patrick Mahomes and he's going up against Justin Herbert this week, the Chargers, you're going to probably have a little shootout. Herbert's usually ranked anywhere from 5 to 10. Some rankings have him at 10. Some have him as high as number 3 this week because he's playing against Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. So you need to remember these things. It's matchup based and it's who you're playing against. You have Patrick Mahomes and he's ranked number one, and you're going against a guy who has Jacoby Brissett filling in for Tua Tagovailoa, and you know Jacoby Brissett's ranked 28th, you probably have the advantage there. So as you build your lineup week to week, build it position by position based on who you're playing against. Okay? Don't think too far ahead and don't look behind, because what happened last week is irrelevant, probably not going to happen again this week. Very rarely does. So if you're chasing points from last week, oh, I had this guy on my bench and he did so much better last week, and you put him in this week, chances are it's not going to happen again. He was on your bench for a reason last week. Circumstances dictated that he gets more carries or gets more passes or whatever because of an injury or something, and then all of a sudden he's doing better. And then you go put him in the following week and he has a dud and you're like, oh, what happened? Well, he was down on your bench for a reason. Okay? Don't get too creative. And don't be a slave to the rankings. Just because your guy is ranked 15th doesn't mean he's not going to outperform the guy who you're playing against. Okay? If you have a running back that's ranked 5 for the week and you're going up against a guy that's ranked 6, yeah, you might have a little... Then you have to look and say, okay, my matchup looks like this. His matchup looks like that. He's projected to get this many points. I'm projected to get this many points. Do I need an upgrade here or is this a wash? Move on to the next position. Go position by position on who you're playing every week to build your lineup. Just look straight ahead at this week. Don't go too crazy. I mean, quarterback rankings, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, they're all Tom Brady, they're all going to be in that top 8 virtually every week, some in, and in a different order. The winners and losers of these leagues are the ones that have the guys from Daniel Jones, Matt Stafford, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, Jalen Hurts, Ryan Tannehill, the guys down in the middle of the pack that outperform somebody in the top 8. So don't be a slave to the rankings, okay? You're going to look every week. Christian McCaffrey, no matter who they're playing, is going to be ranked number one usually. That with good reason. He catches the ball. He runs the ball. He does everything. Scores touchdowns. Just don't get confused and just base your lineup on rankings. Base your lineup on who you're playing, what they have, and how to beat that. That being said, there's a game tonight. If you have Carolina Panthers, you're probably going to play them. They're playing the Houston Texans, and the Texans are now on their third-string quarterback because their second-string quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, was hurt last week, right? So now they have to play the rookie from Stanford, Mills, who got in last week's game, did okay, but now he's playing against a defense in Carolina that is way overperforming what everybody thought they would. This defense is no joke. They have depth, and they come after it all four downs like they're trying to win a Super Bowl. It's going to be really hard on the kid. He has one viable receiver in Brandon Cooks, who has had two really good weeks because he's really the only target of value on that team. So Cooks, if you have Brandon Cooks, you're playing him anyway because you probably don't have a better option. But he is the whole focal point of that passing attack. All the other guys are injured or just not that good. Problem with the Houston offense, they have three pretty viable running backs. David Johnson, who used to be a fantasy stud, a little older, a little slower, catches the ball well. Philip Lindsay, a young running back with all the juice, was in Denver for a couple years, played very well, very fast. And Mark Ingram, who they all seem to love, who is of New Orleans fame and most recently with Baltimore. Three running backs, splitting carries does not equal fantasy success. If you are stuck playing any one of them, hope that you have Mark Ingram because he's going to be the one that gets any kind of goal line carries that they might get. And I don't know how many they're going to get tonight. This could be a Carolina wash blowout. But it's the NFL. You never know. On the Carolina side of the ball, quarterback, yeah, Sam Darnold could have a good game. But he could also hand the ball 25 times to Christian McCaffrey, who should have a very good game. If you have Christian McCaffrey, this is one of those games where you look forward to it. You know, you call him a smash game. This is where he's going to go completely off, right? Even if he doesn't, he still gets you 20 points a game almost. Guy's huge. But this could be one of those games where he gets you 40, 50. He could have multiple touchdowns. He could catch plenty of passes. But the other side of that is if Carolina does dominate this game, he could be wearing a baseball cap, you know, fourth quarter. So he'll get his early. You hope that Houston can keep it kind of tight so that they keep using him as normal. And they do have 10 days off before their next game, so expect a full load out of McCaffrey. Hopefully he has the game you want. But if you're playing anybody for the passing game, Robbie Anderson, Moore, DJ Moore or whatever. You know, these guys could have a big game too, but go ahead and flip a coin on which guy it's going to be. Anderson's done nothing the first couple weeks. He could have a long touchdown today and then nothing. Moore could be more of a possession guy, get plenty of catches, or maybe nothing. If McCaffrey's going off and they're building up a lead, they're not going to have to throw it that much. So curb your enthusiasm for... God, could I even say that? I just... Curb your enthusiasm. What a great show. There. I gave it props. Love Larry David. But the you need to curb your enthusiasm with a game like this. It should be a smash. It should be a blowout for Carolina. They should win this game easily. But how they do that is different. The defense could score two touchdowns, and you're sitting there with McCaffrey or whatever going, oh, my God, he didn't have to do as much. Well, no, because the defense scored two touchdowns. You never know. But McCaffrey is in a good spot. The receivers are in pretty good spots. If you have viable alternatives, I would play somebody else. Because you can't guess which one of these receivers is going to go off. But you know Christian McCaffrey is going to get his. That's the safest play on the book, and I hate it that it's the obvious one because he is the number one ranked fantasy football player going. But that's why you drafted him number one overall for games like this. The over-under on the game is 43, not a lot of points. So what they're saying is Carolina's favored by 8.5 points. So if you take 8.5 off the 43... You're sitting at, so they're predicting Carolina is going to score around 30 and, you know, or 28 and, you know, they might get 15. I mean, Carolina is going to win this game easily. 8.5 points is a pretty big spread in the NFL. The under is 43. They're not going to need, so they're going to do most of the scoring. This could, if it's a blowout, it could be 35-6, 35-9. Quote me on that. But understand, people. Thursday night games are difficult to gamble on because they just played Sunday. They didn't have their normal routine. They only have a few days to get ready for it. Houston has the unlucky spot because their quarterback is their main quarterback, their superstar Deshaun Watson, is being investigated for inappropriate behavior of massage therapists. So he's not even a part of the team. He's not even helping out at practice. So they've already gone through their second-string quarterback. Now they're throwing a rookie out there on a Thursday night with minimal time to prepare against a hungry defense that is trying to win a division against Tampa Bay. So they have everything in the world to play for in a smash. Carolina should win this game easy. McCaffrey will get his. Flip a coin between Moore and Robbie Anderson. Sam Darnold might do okay, but he's not going to have to do a lot to win this game. The defense is going to dictate this game. Big game for McCaffrey. I wouldn't trust anybody on the Houston side except Brandon Cooks because they're going to be coming from behind. They're going to have to throw all game long. He will be the guy that catches the ball because he's the only guy they have. The only guy they have. Really, sometimes these Thursday night games are just ugly. I'm glad I have soccer practice on Thursday nights and I don't have to watch many of them, although I end up watching on my phone anyway. But yeah, so those of you on Sunday, if you had Christian McCaffrey, you're probably in a big lead. If you had Carolina's defense, you're probably off to a good start. If you were fortunate enough to play the right Carolina receiver, you're probably sitting pretty. But if you were the poor guy that had to play somebody from the Houston backfield, or God forbid the Houston rookie quarterback Mills, or Brandon Cooks, you might get a little disappointed. You might not be very happy come Sunday. All right. So that was Thursday night's game. So remember, that 43 over-under, I could see this game going under. I don't think Carolina's going to have to do too much. They should get the bulk of those points, and I don't see Houston scoring a lot tonight, if at all. It could be a shutout. It's that bad. That Houston is in that bad of a situation, even though they're at home.
Houston needs to be punished.
Why?
Because their baseball team has been a problem.
Yeah, but their football team has nothing to do with that baseball cheating.
I know, but it's all about the city.
They have their own problems with a
all
star quarterback who's
civic
being...
Civic pride.
Yeah, the civic pride and the civil suits against, like, 100 civil suits or whatever against their quarterback for inappropriately touching
really?
Or exposing himself to massage therapists.
Apparently, I've not been paying attention
yeah,
to that
it's
news.
Like he's like a serial massage therapist violator, allegedly, if that's a thing. And there's no proof, anything, The police officers haven't even filed charges, but he's battling a bunch of civil suits. So the NFL's like, he doesn't want to play for Houston anymore anyway. He wants to be traded. And now Houston's like, we can't trade you with this lingering dummy. So it's just a mess. And this whole franchise is sitting there going, our best player is not even involved with our team. We keep going through quarterbacks. motivation sooner or later for these other guys is going to be like, God, we suck. I'm not going to get hurt. I'm going to leave and go to another team next year. I need to make sure I'm healthy. When a team like Carolina comes in with a very good, strong, deep defense, this could get real ugly real quick tonight and just be a boring blowout that is not very exciting for fantasy or reality. So that being said, I am your fantasy warlock, and that's what I think about tonight's game.
Fantasy football talk with someone who really knows their shit. Jim Francisco is the Fantasy Warlock from Radio 111. Here's Big Jim.
Complacency, Mr. McMullen. It happens in sports. It happens in fantasy football. It happens all over the place. Just because you're 0-2 in your fantasy league, don't fret. There's 17 regular season games now in the NFL, not just 16. So you might want to check your scoring systems and your standings and everything, how they work, because a lot of leagues have had to adjust to, well, we're playing 17 games now. Look, if you're playing in that final week, you know, most players are rested or stars aren't playing because they're getting rested for the playoffs. So be really aware of where everything
rested
is
or arrested.
Yeah, right. No, Deshaun Watson has not been arrested yet. He has not even been charged, but he has all these civil suits. It's like a dramatic number. I can't even remember how many women have filed, but it's like he would meet them on Instagram or some app, and then they're all saying like that's how they hooked up with him. I'm like, you're an NFL quarterback, and he has like $100-some million contract. You have to go to different massage therapists all the time? That's just like a red flag to me. It's like, why don't you just have one that comes to your house all the time?
Right.
Right?
Well, some
it's just weird.
Some people cannot buy common sense.
You know, the other thing is, he says, this is ridiculous, I'm totally innocent. His lawyer, like, are you kidding me? When it's all said and done, it wouldn't surprise me if, like, somebody was impersonating him. But you can't discount what these women are saying either, because it's pretty gross. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So, well, when it all comes out, how many times you hear that with sports figures, politicians, whatever? When it all comes out, sometimes when it comes out, it's even worse, you know?
Yeah.
But that's it. You're 0-2 in your fantasy league. Don't panic. I've been 0-4 and come back in one leagues. Right? You're building. You're paying attention to the waiver wire. You're watching injuries. You're watching it. But just play it week to week. Just try to win this week.
So is there a point of no return?
Yeah, usually. Like when you realize,
and do guys just end up dropping out?
Well, and that's the thing that bothers most people to play fantasy football too, and why you have to stay engaged. It's really hard when guys just stop putting a lineup in because they're like, I'm not going to win. I'm already out of it. And then somebody else just destroys them that needs that win to break into the playoffs, and it hoses somebody else. You have to honor everybody in the league and play it out.
Yeah.
Right? So guys, gals, if you're in a league and people just don't let them back in the league again. Make sure you have 8, 12, how many people are in your league that are going to play it all the way through. So there's tricks to do that to make it enticing to keep them in. Week to week, put a dollar value on highest points for the week. And put a dollar value on lowest points in a week, is what we used to do in our league. If you're the highest point getter for the week, it's $50. If you're the lowest point getter in a week, you owe an extra 25. You don't want to pile up 8 weeks of being at the bottom and owe another couple $100.
Right.
You want to win the week. So if you put something like that in, the teams that are already out of it can still play and try to get that $50 to offset their losses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So try to make it creative that way. And we realized that, you know, like 15, 18 years ago in our big league that we've had forever. Because Livingston used to just finish the bottom of the pack all the time. And, you know, and then I said, man, we got to punish him. And whoever's winning, you know, maybe if he was motivated by getting some money back, he actually got better at it. Started paying attention. I'm not paying $25 every week.
What did you use as a punishment? Forcing him to vote for a Democrat?
No, it was just the idea of like, dude, you owe an extra $300 now because you haven't been paying attention. You hit someone in a pocketbook, they're going to pay attention. right? So put incentives in to get people to play.
Yeah.
All right? And if someone doesn't care about the money or whatever and they're just bringing it, just don't invite them back in your league. Unless you just want easy money to get every week.
How
every
big
year.
Is a really big league?
$1,000, $2,000. Like, you talking money-wise or?
People.
People, you can have up to 20 people in a league.
Okay.
Which really makes the talent pool thin.
Yeah.
So every team's going to be kind of
what's the
stars
average,
and
would
scrubs.
You say?
The average is a 12-team league.
Okay.
And that's usually where people try to cap it. Some will be 14 and 16. I've played in those, and those are kind of fun because you have to play players you wouldn't normally play. You have to get creative every week and go, man, this guy really sucks, but well, let's roll him out there because there's nobody else out there.
Yeah.
8-team leagues are very hard because everybody should have an all-star team. Right? Because there's only 8 teams and you're pulling from 200 plus players in the NFL.
Mm.
And even if you only have a 20 person roster that you're playing with, there's still 40 on the waiver wire that you could pick up if something happens. So 8-team leagues are very hard because everybody should have an all-star team. And they're probably the most competitive if they're done right. But what happens is a lot of 8-team leagues I've been in are a joke because there's only 3 or 4 of us paying attention and everybody else sucks. So 2 or 3 teams are just dominating everybody. Right? So the sweet spot is probably 12.
So if fantasy football is your thing and you aren't in a league that you're happy about now, how do you go about finding the league you want to be in?
Well, that's the other part of it. Are you interested in the game or are you interested in the camaraderie or are you interested in both? If you're interested in both, find friends that are a little more interested. We'll pay more attention. Don't just ask your cousin in because you need a body. And you like your cousin, but
so are
your cousin's
you physically
not gonna pay attention.
Congregating together?
Yeah, normally, like what we did with our league that lasted 20 some years was we got together every Sunday at my house and I fed everybody. We made a big meal and we had football. We drank and ate and watched games all day and gave each other crap. And that was the most fun. And it was competitive.
Yeah.
But then as guys move away, things change in families, it starts. So we ended up ending that league a couple years ago. And everything runs its course. It's very hard to keep something together that long. We have the trophy with all the names of the winners, you know?
Hey, the news guys want to talk again.
F them. It's the Warlock time. Radio 111, this is your Warlock. We'll get in all the remaining games for Sunday when we get back.
Radio 111 is your home for talking fantasy sports. Jim Francisco is the Fantasy Warlock. And live from Palm Springs, here's the man, the legend, the Warlock himself, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Jimmy Francisco, Fantasy Warlock.
Jimmy the F.
Radio 111, just beast, I guess.
We're glad to have you back and have the Warlock back. With us,
I mean,
it's been 2 years since we last did this, I think.
And yeah, well, it's been longer, I think, for the Warlock.
Was it 3 years ago that we did it?
It was 2018. We finished up that football season, and then I started moving to daily talk radio.
Right.
Look, you think I'm annoying with fantasy football. You should have listened to me when we were talking about God knows what and everything. I had a lot of fun doing
it,
though.
I'm sitting in the seat that was occupied in your first iteration by our studio namesake and one of our former peeps that was here who unfortunately passed away about 2 years ago, Alex Huey.
Coming up on his birthday.
And yeah, here a week from Sunday. And
that was a fun time because Alex was kind of new to radio too.
Right.
And he was the producer and he had knew nothing about sports or really cared about sports. And
well, he played football in high school, but other
didn't
than
care about that
being yet. A fan of the Eagles,
yep.
Which you both are,
yeah.
He really had next to no
None.
Solid interest.
And he would sit there with me, and even though he didn't know anything about fantasy sports, he would ask brilliant questions because he got interested quick. He's like, you got me interested in this. I'm like, sorry. I'm sorry.
You know, he was really, one of the things that was interesting about him is that he was really into stuff that, you know, statistical information,
mm-hmm.
Being, and and algorithms were really his thing. That's why he was really actually very active in like cryptocurrency and stuff like that. So I could see how this would play into that with the fantasy sports.
And week to week, we'd have our buddy from Vegas, the gambling guru, call in and give us five picks a week for five games. And he could not believe how successful he was. He's like, I can't believe he got all five right.
You're
going
to do
all
that?
Five right again. We will. Going to be up there in Vegas from the 3rd to the 6th, and I'm going to see him and some of the gambling people to talk about some stuff, and then we're going to get him back on the air once a week, give him picks, which is great. And he was so good. And it's the last time I lost a bet, because I don't gamble, was to him. He gave us a pick of the Miami Dolphins, who were terrible at the time, beating the Chicago Bears, who were beating the hell out of everybody at the time. He said, yeah, the Dolphins are going to win this game outright. I said, points aside, there's no way the Dolphins win this outright. I can see them maybe getting lucky and beating, winning on the point spread, but there's no way they're going to win outright. He goes, well, put your money where your mouth is.
Did you?
That cost me a $555 steak dinner in Vegas.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I couldn't believe it. I left the house. Bears are killing him. Halfway through the soccer game I'm coaching that morning, I get a text from him. I'll take my steak medium rare with the lobster and the crab cocktail. I'm like, what? So I look over the scores. I'm like, how the hell did Miami come back and win that game?
Yeah.
Amazing. And that's the thing. I'm telling you, people, you're going to gamble. Be prepared to lose, because the guys that do this for a living, they know a lot more than we do. A lot more. So be prepared.
Even though you're like 97.8%.
Yeah. You can. That it's always that 2% that comes back to bite you in the arse as soon as you get cocky. The Arizona Cardinals have a lot to be cocky about. They're 2-0, and they're getting to play the Jacksonville Jaguars this week, who are 0-2. They are favored by 7, and it's a 52 over-under. So they're expecting some points to be scored, but most of that's probably from the Arizona side. Mm-hmm. Now, I told you earlier that DeAndre Hopkins has a magical rib injury. But even if DeAndre doesn't play or he's limited, Kyler Murray should shred this Jacksonville defense. Rondell Moore, the rookie from Arizona, should... He could catch another long one. I mean, Jacksonville's just not that good, and Arizona's very good, very fast on offense. And Arizona's defense has improved. And Jacksonville has a rookie quarterback, the number one overall pick, Trevor Lawrence. Great young player. But his weapons are dinged. And Arizona's on a mission. They're trying to stay competitive with the Rams. They're trying to beat Seattle. You know, they have a tough division. Seattle, the Rams, you know, Arizona. I don't even remember the other team because they're relevant to me.
Yeah, like the first week in the NFC West,
Niners.
Every team won their games.
Yeah, so here they are. The Cardinals need to keep pace, so they're going to put the foot on the pedal and go for it. So the over-under at 52, I'm kind of leaning to the under, and I would take the Cardinals giving a 7, easy. And if you have Kyler Murray, you're very lucky in fantasy. He's by far the number one quarterback so far this year. You play him. If you have DeAndre Hopkins and he's healthy, you play him. If you have A.J. Green, the 33-year-old wonder kid who did nothing for 3 years in Cincinnati and now is viable again, yeah, he's not the main target, so he's viable. You can play almost anybody from the Arizona offense if you have to. The Jacksonville side, I think the only guy you can really play, you could play Lawrence and hope that he's chasing points and just getting yards and garbage points. We call them garbage points when you know a team's getting killed. And they have to throw the ball nonstop. So you can literally go without a quarterback of substance and go week to week and stream quarterbacks like, okay, well, his team sucks, but they're going to be behind, so he's going to have to throw. And you're going to see guys like, how did Trevor Lawrence throw for 400 yards and his team got killed? Well, because they were coming from behind chasing. Well, he had 400 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions because they were chasing. But those 400 yards, that's 20 points in most fantasy leagues. So don't be afraid to play the garbage guy, the garbage points. There's garbage points in fantasy football are legit. If you have a receiver on a team that's going to get blown out or a quarterback, don't be afraid to play them because they're going to be coming from behind. And what does that mean? They're going to have to throw. You know, if they're in a tight game against another garbage team, oof, well, you don't know what anybody's going to do. But the chances of a team that's supposed to get blown out like in this to gain you fantasy points is legit. So Trevor Lawrence is in play. James Robinson, who catches the ball out of the backfield, is in play. DJ Chark, Laviski Shenaw, Marvin Jones, all in play if you're chasing garbage points. If you have a guy that's in a matchup that's marginal and you're not sure if that, you know, he's not the number one option on a team and you have one of these guys, play one of these guys, because that other guy's probably going to be, his ceiling and floor are different. The ceiling for these guys is huge. The floor is also very low, but in a game where they're going to be behind and having to catch up, play the guys that are going to have to pass and catch the ball. Real simple, right? You're looking at me shaking your head like, yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? You just, in reality, you would never play that guy. They're going to get killed. Right, but we're chasing points.
Right.
They're chasing points. Week one, Jared Goff with the Lions, they were getting hammered by the 49ers. He ended up throwing for 400 yards and a few touchdowns. They almost came back and beat the Niners. They were down by 33 points. They came back and barely lost. But they were chasing and throwing nonstop. And the points accrued. In a normal football game, when both teams are pounding each other, it's run the ball, pass the ball, try to get that edge, field position. When a team's blowing a team out, the team that is on the blowout side will sometimes score, players on that team will score more fantasy points than the team blowing them out. Because when a team's blowing them out, it's usually spread around. It's two receivers, a running back, a quarterback's getting his. But on the other side, the quarterback and the main receiver or two are going to get all the points. So play those things. Don't be afraid to play Lawrence and Chark and those guys in this game. Then you have a game that I was just talking about with the Colts and the Titans. Two division rivals. The Titans are 1-1. The Colts are 0-2. They're division rivals. They know each other extremely well. They build their teams to make sure that they can beat their division rivals. So this game is pegged at a 48 over-under. Most books will tell you take the over at 48 because these two teams can score. The Titans beat Seattle last week and, you know, in a hell of a game, right? They can score. They can run it, they can pass it, they can score. The Colts should be able to score, and they have a pretty good defense. The Titans have a pretty good defense. But they're built to play each other. So most of the time, these games will go under for divisional games. So when you see a 48 over under, and most people are telling you to take the over, yeah, the Vegas knows something that we don't. But they also know that these are division rivals, so it could be a sucker bet. Put the line in a little lower, let it go to the over, because everybody's going to play the under, right? Or everybody sees a lower line, man, we're going to take the over. They can both scorch, because 48, and if it's a tight game, that means 24-24. One of them's going to have to win, right? 27-24. Well, that's 51 points. It's over 48. So, yeah, we'll take the over. But then people forget it's a division rival game, which could very easily be 21-10, 21-17. What's that add up to? 38. And you hit the under. So watch the lines. Understand the teams that are playing. The Colts should be able to run the ball. If you have Jonathan Taylor, you play him. He hasn't done much the first 2 weeks, but he is a top 10 back. He should start getting his. If you have Michael Pittman, who came out last week, play him. Play Jack Doyle. Play Carson Wentz if he's healthy. If he's not, you've got issues. Don't play anybody except Taylor. If you have anybody on the Titans side, you're playing Derrick Henry every week. You saw what he did to Seattle last week. He had like 50 fantasy points. He had 40 yards in the first half, ended up getting over 200 yards in the game. Just wore them down. It was week two. Seattle's not in full game condition yet completely, right? They punched Seattle in the face the whole second half to the point where they finally overtook them, right? Let Russell cook, people. God, it drives me crazy. We'll get to Seattle later. But if you have anybody in this game, you're playing your Titans, you're playing Derrick Henry, you're playing A.J. Brown, you're playing Julio Jones, you're playing Tannehill. On the Colts side, if Wentz is healthy, you got to play him. Jonathan Taylor is a must start, always. Play your studs, and then you can pick Hilton. He's out, so you've got Paris Campbell. Michael Pittman came out last week, and Carson Wentz will find the guy that he's most comfortable with, and apparently the first 2 weeks it's Pittman. If Carson Wentz doesn't play, just play Jonathan Taylor from that side. And if you have to play either one of the defenses, good luck. I mean, there should be some sacks in the game, maybe a pick or two, but, you know, not very exciting. Next game. Ravens-Lions. Ugh, Lions 0-2, Ravens 1-1. Ravens just come off a big win against Kansas City after losing to the Raiders the first week. The Lions are just terrible. They fought hard in the first half of Monday night, but then Green Bay just blew them out. The Ravens have a very good chance here to smash them, run them right out of the building. Lamar Jackson will have a big game. your tight end, Mark Andrews, should have a big game. Tyson Williams, the running back, big game. They're going to run the ball right down the Lions' throat because they can't stop the run. I mean, Aaron Jones went for 50 fantasy points last week for Green Bay. Had four touchdowns, just ran right through them. They're not going to fix it that quick. The Lions are not deep in talent. The over-under on the game is 50. You take the under because Lions aren't going to do much scoring against the Ravens' defense. The Ravens will do plenty of scoring, but they're not going to score 50 on their own. And they'll probably score 30 to 40, and the Lions probably won't get much. So take the under if you're thinking that way. Play all your Ravens. If you have to play Lions, you play the tight end Hockenson. He's the only one that Jared Goff throws to. Play Goff because he'll probably be coming from behind the garbage point mentality. But a real should be a blowout, should be a boring game. If you have the Ravens defense, congratulations. Next game could be a little tougher. The Washington football team and the Buffalo Bills. Both are 1-1. Washington had high hopes. The over-under is 45.5. They're saying take the over. A lot of people, I kind of agree because I do think Buffalo will score a lot of points. Washington's defense seems to be a bit overrated. Buffalo is now favored by 7.5. And honestly, I think they cover. So if you have your Buffalo Bills, you play your Josh Allen, your Stephon Diggs. Flip a coin with the running back, Singletary or Moss. On the Redskins side, hope they give the ball to Antonio Gibson. Play McLaren because they're going to be coming from behind. If you have to play Heinicke to backup quarterback, play him. They're going to be chasing. This is Jimmy, your Fantasy Warlock. A few more games to go through at the end of the hour, and we will be right back here at Radio 111.
One on fantasy sports action this week with the Fantasy Warlock. Here's Radio 111's Jim Francisco.
Welcome back. Your Fantasy Warlock show on Radio 111. I am James, Jimmy, Jackhole, whatever you want to call the big man. I'm here. I'm here for you. 5 minutes to get through the rest of these games. We're going to nail this quick. Saints Patriots. Patriots favored by 3. Yeah, they should cover. Maybe. Over under 42. Most people are going to tell you to play the over. I have no opinion. No opinion. Really don't care. It's kind of, you know, it could be another one of those dog crap games. If you have Patriots, you play a running back. Maybe you play Mac Jones, a quarterback. Maybe you play the defense. Not very exciting either way. The Saints just play Alvin Kamara. He's the only one viable right now. Jameis Winston will struggle with a Patriots defense. So out of this game, Patriots defense for sure. Alvin Kamara always. Chargers Chiefs. Now we're talking some fun. Over under, highest point total of the week, 55. It goes over. These two teams are going to score a lot. Both defenses are suspect. It'll be a shootout. Kansas City's favored by 6.5. Not sure if they'll cover that. It should be a close game, but it's going to be a lot of points. If you have Chargers, play them. If you have Chiefs, play them. I don't even need to say the names. You know who they are. Play them all. Falcons Giants. It's funny how this week is going. Dog crap game, phenomenal game. Dog crap game, phenomenal game. Well, we get two back-to-back garbage games. Falcons-Giants. Falcons 0-2, Giants 0-2. Something has to give. Probably lean on the Giants side. Their defense is better. The over-under is 47.5. Probably goes under. Giants are favored by 2.5. They probably cover. Play Saquon Barkley from the Giants. Should have a big game. Ran off a 40-yard run last week. Another week past his ACL injury. He's had 10 days off since last Thursday night. This is the Barkley breakout game. Shepard, Galladay should, you know, the squeaky wheel thing, if you believe in that. Galladay was freaking out on the sideline last week that he didn't get the ball. Whether he's yelling at the quarterback or the coach is irrelevant. Squeaky wheel always gets his. I'd probably lean to Galladay over Shepard this week. The Falcons, you're playing Matt Ryan. You're playing Calvin Ridley. You're playing the rookie Pitts. That's about it. I mean, the running back situation's a mess. If you picked up Cordarrelle Patterson expecting him to do what he did last week every week, you're chasing the wrong points, people. Garbage game. Bears-Browns. Baker Mayfield in play. This should be a Nick Chubb smash week. Could be the highest point getter for the week. Going against the Bears, who are definitely suspect to the run. And are playing a rookie quarterback. In a hostile, against a hostile Browns D. So if you have to play Fields, just count on rushing yardage because you're not going to get much through the air. Poor Allen Robinson gets a rookie quarterback throwing to him now. Really can't trust anybody on the Bears side. Maybe Montgomery to running back. On the Browns, really, it's the Nick Chubb show. Kareem Hunt, if you have him, they're going to run the ball right down the Bears' throats all game. Boring game. Browns are favored by 7, should cover. Over under 45.5. Most of those points will be scored by the Browns. Defense and offense. Bengals-Steelers used to be a battle. Division rivals. Bengals are ascending. The Steelers are falling apart. If Roethlisberger plays, it'll be a game. If Roethlisberger doesn't play, lean away towards the Bengals. Play your Bengals, play Mixon, play Burrow, play Jamar Chase, the rookie. With your Steelers, play the rookie Najee Harris, play Juju Smith-Schuster, and hope for the best. Maybe it's the Chase Claypool coming out party this week because he hasn't done anything in the first 2 weeks. But Deontay Johnson won't play. Claypool is in play. If Deontay Johnson plays, fade Claypool, look at Johnson. Dolphins-Raiders. Kind of setting up to be a garbage game with no Dolphins quarterback. Jacoby Brissett playing. Over-under's 44.5. I would take the under. The Raiders, yes, they're 2-0. They should have enough to beat the Dolphins, a depleted Dolphins. They're favored by 4, and they probably cover. On the Raiders, play Derek Carr, play Waller. Play Waller. Woo-ha! Not sure about the... they're another one of those teams you never know which wide receiver is going to get his. Jets-Broncos. Another garbage game. Broncos 2-0. Can they make it a third straight blowout against a rookie quarterback with the Jets? Absolutely. Broncos defense. Broncos running backs. Melvin Gordon. Jets still have a rookie quarterback. Don't play him. Ooh, Broncos. They're favored by 11. They'd probably cover. Bucks-Rams. Another shootout. Over-under. Actually, that over-under is now 56, higher than the Chiefs game. If you have Rams, play them all. If you have Bucks, play them all. Brady, Stafford, all of them. Another shootout in the afternoon. Seahawks-Vikings. Could be another shootout. Let Russell cook. Play DK Metcalf. Play Lockett. Play Carson. Play Dalvin Cook if he's healthy. Play all your Vikings receivers. Thielen, Jefferson. Have some fun with this. Stay away from the defenses. Packers-49ers. The Niners have owned the Packers the last few years, but they are not the same team. Packers probably win this one. Over-unders at 50. It's a Sunday night game. Packers do better in prime time. Niners, injuries all across the board. Play Kittle, play Garoppolo, play Debo Samuel, play your Packers, play Rodgers, Adams, play your Aaron Jones. Could be a repeat of last week. Monday night, the much maligned Dallas Cowboys against the Philadelphia Eagles. God, shouldn't be a very pretty game. Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, the Zeke breakout game. Eagles, Jalen Hurts, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert. Play him with confidence. Miles Sanders, not as much confidence. That game's over 52. Over under 52. It might go over. It might not. They're division rivals. Look at the scores over the last few years against these two teams. They usually split. Eagles win one, Cowboys win one. Play Jalen Hurts. Play Dak Prescott. Hope for the best. I am your fantasy warlock. Looking forward to talking to you next week. You have the number, 760-677-0111. Call in. Come live. Ask your great questions. Ask your dumb questions. I'm here for all.